First Peter chapter 5, if you'll take your Bibles, First Peter chapter 5, we are on track to have a message tonight about First Peter chapter 5, and I think it will be a blessing to you. And then I'm looking forward to next Sunday night being able to close this out here in First Peter with an encouragement. And we're going to relate it to the Lord's Supper idea. And that's going to work out fantastically. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. We'll read here verses 6 through 14. And I'll read, you follow along silently. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen." We've been talking about, of course, this whole book of 1 Peter. And Peter's endeavor to strengthen, to help, to be a blessing to the strangers in Christ. And these are folks that are not Jewish. They are not Israelites. They are Gentiles, heathen, if you will, or come from heathen cultures from across the world. But these are strangers, but they've trusted Christ as their Savior. So they've been grafted in, if you will, to the heritage and family of God. Well, as we've talked about these things, we understand that Peter wanted to bolster and to strengthen the things that Paul taught them and introduced them to through the gospel, through the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, through pastors and teachers that had been ordained and set up in every city and in every church. And so as we kind of come to the end here in these closing remarks, we understand that in the midst of the people, Peter wanted to encourage the pastors of those churches to continue to feed the flock of God, to have the oversight but not do it wrongly, of course, but rather as in samples to the flock. And of course, he encouraged them that when the chief shepherd shall appear in verse 4, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then he talked about submission and being in subject one to another and being humble before God and under the mighty hand of God, casting all their care upon God because he cares for them. And he's the one that we should look to for the care that we need in our lives day by day. He asked them to be sober, to be vigilant, to be aware that the devil is around trying to destroy at every opportunity. Please make no mistake about it. The devil is going to take every opportunity he can to chip away at you. Now think about this. The devil is not always going to gobble you up in one bite. But he may just try to chip away at the foundations of your life bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, and all of a sudden you're going to crumble. How many of you have seen those videos or things where they split those big boulders? Have you seen? I mean, that's pretty cool. And they have all those metal pegs that they put in there, right? And they just go through and they hammer, 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 hammer. And it takes forever. And all of a sudden, just that one more little, I mean, and it's not even a mighty blow. You know, it's just a little tink, 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 tink. And all of a sudden you hear this. I mean, the thing just comes apart. It's amazing. It almost explodes apart because of the pressure that's on. And just, that's what the devil does. I mean, he just tink, 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 tink. Tink, 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 tink. Poo! And you just fly apart. That's what happens in our lives. And so he says, be sober, be vigilant. Folks, we cannot let down our guard. Because the time that we do, he gets in. And listen, think about this. You can go through, I've been saved 38 years. Approximately 38 years, something like that, okay? Think about all the time that I've spent, right? Growing, maturing, I've been in the ministry 19 years, almost 20 years. The Bible college, the investment, all of that stuff. It could all end tomorrow. If I let my guard down tomorrow, it could all end tomorrow. If I let my guard down today, it could all end today. We have to continue to be vigilant. The adversary is not going to say, oh, that pastor, he's been a pastor, he's been an assistant pastor, he's been faithful, I'm just going to leave him alone. No, or he's going to say, oh, it's not worth my time bugging him. No, he is going to be there to pounce on me whenever I let my guard down. And we've got to remember that. We need to resist him steadfast in the faith. And we talked about all that. That brings us to verse 10. And I want you to pay attention to this. And by the way, those of you that are preacher boys or considering serving God and preaching or teaching, this is a ready-made outline. I mean, I didn't even have to work hard to put this one together. Right, Brother Minter, you've probably preached through this, I'm guessing. Yes, sir. Amen. Okay. It's a ready-made sermon. Peter says, but the God of all grace. So we'll start there. You understand that it's by the grace of God we have anything. All right, start with that. Okay? God created man. Right? That was God's idea. God created man in his image. He placed him in the garden. He gave him a directive. Man made a choice to sin against God. At that particular juncture, God could have I'm starting over. He didn't have to provide salvation, redemption, none of it. It is by the grace of God. Grace, I gave the definition in my prayer, grace is getting something that we do not deserve. Okay? We do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve the benevolence of God. We do not deserve to be a part of God's family. We do not deserve heaven. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve anything. None of it. But by the grace of God. That's why he deserves this title, the God of all grace. Anything that's gracious in this world, anything that's of grace in this world is of God. He's the God of all grace. That's who he is. And God is this way to us out of his own sovereignty. He doesn't have to be. He wants to be. And again, you know I love this verse. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? I don't get it. And sometimes I just sit in awe and look up toward heaven and say, God, why do you even care? Because it doesn't rationally make any sense that he would care about my life or your life or any human being's life. He's Almighty God, creator of everything. Why in the world would he even take a microsecond? We'll use a biblical term, a twinkling of the eye. Why? Because he wants to. Another verse that just puts me into awe is, we love him because he first loved us. And it's not me that loved God, it's him that loved me first. And so this is what we have to think about this. But I want you to listen to what Peter says and what Peter is trying to get across to these who before knew not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now they know him through Jesus Christ, who was preached unto them through the gospel. I love what he says. So first of all, we have this introduction of God as the God of all grace. And then he makes this statement. He says, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus? And immediately my mind floods with the fact that God wants me to be saved. And the fact that God is willing that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. And the fact remains, I'll just give you one example. There are so many examples I could use with this, but it's by the grace of God that he even called out to us and drew us to him. It's by the grace of God that he didn't just let us waller in our sin and our shame unto condemnation and damnation to hell. It's a wonder. It's by the grace of God that he did this. Paul rehearses this to the church in Rome and says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. We're called to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on in Romans chapter 5, he says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God. Don't miss this. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Who called us? God. Why? By his grace. You understand that it is by grace that we're saved. Not by works, but by the grace of God. Galatians 1 furthermore puts this to point. Paul says this, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Did you see what Paul said? He said, how are you so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ? God called us or wooed us or drew us into the grace of Christ. Did you know that the Son, God the Son, did not have to say yes to the call of the Father to go and be our sacrifice. That just, have you ever thought about that? Did Jesus, was he forced, did he have to say yes to come and be our sacrifice? Will you say semantically, yes, he did because he's God and that was God's plan. But do you understand the idea of this? He could have said no. Oh, furthermore, by the way, we have proof of this. Because in the garden, what did he pray? Yeah. Now that was, of course, we understand the human aspect, not wanting to die. We get that. But he set his face as a flint to go to the cross to complete the redemption plan for us. But do you understand? It is God's the one that has called us into this grace. And he says he marveled that they were so soon removed. In Timothy, Paul puts Timothy into remembrance to stir up the gift of God which is in him. And he says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And then he clarifies, he says, about Christ and about God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. Oh, I love this. Before the world began. Whew. So back to our text. Peter says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. The God of all grace has called us. He wants us. He's given us a salvation through Jesus Christ. Number two, he says, after that ye have suffered a while. You say, okay, now this doesn't make sense. God is giving us something that we don't deserve. He's called us into salvation. He's called us to eternal life. He's called us to by grace into faith in Jesus Christ. He's done this for us. And now he's called us into suffering? You're saying by the grace of God, we're going to suffer for a while? Now, I don't have time to re-preach all of this, but do you understand that yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Oh, by the way, we already studied in the book of James, right? And earlier here in the book of 1 Peter, that this suffering is actually beneficial to us. It's to do what to us? Perfect us. Right? To grow us. Did you understand that God allows us to suffer? You say, I don't like that part. That doesn't sound very gracious to me. But it is. But it is. We've already talked about how we as parents sometimes will allow our children to go through difficult things for their benefit, for their good. I remind my boys all the time that it's better for me to be tough on them than this world to be tough on them later. Why? Because I know my own benevolence. Now, they don't believe that I'm benevolent at all. But I know my own benevolence and what I'm really doing for them. And listen, God knows what he's really doing for us. So the God of all grace, not only has he called us to his eternal glory through Jesus Christ in salvation, but he's called us to suffer. And guess what? Where God leads, he provides and he sustains. I love what this, there are many verses. Again, I literally could read to you dozens of passages of scripture for each one of these. But not tonight. So here's one. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Who's doing this? The God of all grace. He said, you're going to suffer for a while. If I remember, we just talked about this recently, is why I'm not spending a lot of time on this. But do you understand that he told the church there in the book of Revelation that he was going to deliver them from the time of temptation because of their faithfulness? You understand that God, he knows what we're going to go through. He knows what this world's going to try to do. And he knows what's needed for us to be perfected, if you will. And we're going to get to that one next year. That after we've suffered a while, there's a purpose to this through his grace for us. And one of those purposes is that we're going to suffer for a reason. And that reason is the next point: to make you perfect, to complete us, to mature us. He's going to sustain us through the temptation, through the trials, so that we can be perfected for him. Who's doing this? The God of all grace. Who's doing this? The one who wants to be a part of our lives, who wants to direct us, who wants to work in us and through us according to his purpose. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Here's what Paul writes and says: who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then Paul says this: whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You understand that God wants to perfect himself in us. He wants us to be mature so that we can bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. He wants us to be that kind of Christian whom, when it's brought to the task, can give an answer of the hope that is within us in meekness and fear, right? He wants to put these things in our lives by his grace so that we can shine as lights. That's what he wants for us, that Jesus Christ can shine through us. Listen, can I tell you something? In a lighthouse, the light is generated. But you understand that the light alone, if you will, and this is not a perfect illustration, please understand that. The light needs something that has a reflector to make it the distance. Now, no way, shape, or form am I saying Jesus Christ is not powerful enough to shine in this dark world, which he is. But God has made us the reflectors. And guess what it takes to make a reflector? A lot of honing. A lot of polishing. Okay, a lot of shining. That's what it takes to be a reflector. And that takes a lot of effort. And it's by the grace of God that he wants to make us perfect. He wants to make us complete. He wants to make us mature. And Paul said, look, we are laboring and striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Then Peter says, by the way, all through this book of 1 Peter, I hope you're noticing that Peter is not overstepping his bounds. He's not trying to undo anything that Paul has done in these people. He's trying to emphasize it all. They're one. They're working together. Paul taught this to these people. Peter's emphasizing it, re-emphasizing it, strengthening it, as you will. You'll notice that a lot of these verses that I use as supporting verses come from the mouth of the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles in the first place. And Peter is just reiterating and strengthening them bit by bit. Look at the next one. He says that after we've suffered a while, he wants to make us perfect by his grace, because he's called us unto this grace, make us perfect, and he wants to establish us. That's a wonderful word. You understand that God does want us to be unmovable. But it's not according to our own might that we become unmovable. It's his might. When something is established, that means it's going to endure the test of time. It's not going to waver. It's going to be sure, and because it has a sure foundation. Hey, you know what? We have that ability in Jesus Christ by the grace of God to be established. Listen to this in 2 Thessalonians. Paul again says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and even God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope, oh, by this, through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work." Who's doing this? The God of all grace. Do you know what God wants for us? He doesn't want our hearts to fear. He doesn't want us to have a fearful mind. He wants us to be established. He wants us to be confident. He wants us to be sure, not in our own, but in him. God is the one that's going to comfort our hearts. He's the one that's going to establish us in every good word and work through his grace. It's a fantastic thing. Look at the next one. By the way, you're listening very well tonight. We only have two left and a conclusion. I'm not telling you how long each of those are, but that's the number. I made it through the first two pages of six. We're doing great. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, again, says this. "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." By the way, I want to just tell you this, that God, by his grace, put this thing in Paul's life. Let me ask you, what would happen if Paul would have bought into the pride of what he was doing? He would have been destroyed. Because what cometh before destruction? Yeah, that pride and that haughty spirit. So he said, think about what he said. He said, God put this thing, this messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I bought into the pride thing, lest I bought into that I was something special. Why did God do that? Because of his grace. Because he didn't want to see Paul destroyed by pride. He put this in his life. Paul, thankfully, recognized this. He said, "That lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." And by the way, in our flesh, We don't like being buffeted. Right? We don't like these things in our lives where God's trying to chip away at us, or he's trying to put us through the fires to pull out the dross. That doesn't feel good. Right? Nobody like, who likes that in their lives? Yeah. If you raise your hand, I'm going to deem you as an insane person. Nobody does. But Paul said this. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." What does the God of all grace want? He's called us. After we've suffered, he's sustained us. He wants to make us perfect. He wants to establish us. He wants to strengthen us. Brother Adam will tell you this. Those of you that know a little bit about metal work, when you heat up metal to a certain temperature and quench it in the oil and stuff, it hardens it. It strengthens it. It makes it be able to withstand some pretty tough stuff. As you're whacking and beating against stuff and trying to cut or chop things, that it needs to be go through that hardening process, that strengthening process. You understand that that's what God wants to do to us, and sometimes it takes those hot fires to get the job done. Listen to what he says. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So who is it that can strengthen us? It's God. And when can he strengthen us? Not when we're strong, but when we're weak. Because when we're weak, then his strength can shine through. And his strength can accomplish the task. "Most gladly, therefore," Paul said, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And that's what the God of all grace wants to do for you. He's trying to, remember, Peter's trying to encourage these Christians. He's trying to tell them how they can make it through. And it's because of the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Well, the last one he goes through, he says this. Not only make us perfect, not only establish us, not only strengthen us, but he wants to settle us. You know what God doesn't want for us? He doesn't want for us to be a nervous wreck. He doesn't want for us to be tossed about. He doesn't want for us to be worried. Right? I know it's not a Bible verse, but why worry when you can pray? It's a song, right? No, he wants us to be settled. You understand that to be confident in God and in his word is where God wants us to be. And it's by his grace. You understand that only God can settle us. If we rely on the world, we'll be unsettled. If we rely on rationale and our own mind and our own flesh, we'll be unsettled. But if we rely on God and put our faith and trust in God, who's the God of all grace, that's where we can be settled. Listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes and says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" By the way, who's he talking about? Jesus Christ. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Are we all clear that this is the way things are supposed to be in Christ Jesus? "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. How are we grounded and settled? In the faith. How does the faith come to us? By grace. It's by the grace of God that we can be settled in the faith that is in God and it is in Christ Jesus. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. In Ephesians, Paul writes and says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Does that sound like someone who's settled? Yes, it is. That's someone who's settled. That's someone who can go through life with, if you will, their head held high in Christ Jesus and accomplish the things that God wants them to accomplish. You know why, if you will, I appear to have such a thick skin about things and have to seem to have a whistle on my lips and a smile on my face and just, man, Pastor, can anything get to you? Not if I stay this way. Not if I stay settled in Jesus Christ. The winds can toss and blow. The water can come into the ship. And I'm just looking back there at Jesus saying, all right, Jesus is sleeping. I'm going to go to sleep too. Right? Why? Because I'm something special? No, because he's something special. And that's what Peter wanted for these Christians that are scattered abroad. He wanted them to be perfect. He wanted them to be established. He wanted them to be strengthened. And he wanted them to be settled so they could accomplish what God had for them. Well, okay, one more verse. Well, which one to read? I should just read them all. No, I'm not going to. Listen to this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then he says this, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You see, what's the end game to all this? This God of all grace is that we would abound to every good work. In other words, we have permission to. You understand the difference between can and may. We're going to go into a little English lesson here, right? This is one of my favorite English lessons. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, that I even have a favorite English lesson. No, but I love teaching this to kids. Because what do kids always say? Can I, can I, can I? And I always tell them, I hope you can. You know, one of my favorite things to say is when they say, can I use the bathroom? Well, I hope so. No, it's permission. May I? God, may I abound? God says, yes, you may. I want you to. He says, you have permission to abound because of the grace of God. It's abounded toward us that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, you, Christian, you may abound to perfection. You may abound to establishment. You may abound to being strengthened. You may abound in being settled. And you may abound in your calling to salvation in Jesus Christ. You may. Because of God's grace. So because we have permission, let's do it. Get it done.
Or as we say down here, right? Get her done. Because God wants us to. He's the God of all grace.